All right, we're going to get started this morning. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online today. Our morning Bible study. It's good to see everybody today. We've had some beautiful weather here lately. And the men were able to build two wheelchair ramps this week. And yesterday we built one in Pope County. And it was a good day for that. It was very nice. We appreciate that. And we're going to be in the book of Zechariah, the 11th chapter, beginning in the 4th verse. But before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day and study your word. And Father, we thank you for granting us the health and the strength to be here today. We pray for those that aren't able to be here, that are less privileged and are really suffering. We pray for the Ruth Hunt family and their loss this week. And Lord, that you'd bless and watch over them. And pray that you'd be with all of our church family that are injured and sick and hurting, those recovering from surgery and those that need surgery. Lord, that you'd watch over and bless. And according to your perfect will, you'd heal and raise them up. We thank you for the day and for this opportunity. For everyone that's here today and everyone that's watching online, we pray for them. There's many of them that are shut in and not able to come. And Lord, we pray that as we go online and teach, that they can be blessed and comforted and encouraged as well by the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word, which is a treasure chest to us and a love letter and a guide as well. And that Holy Spirit teaches us as we walk through our life on this earth, looking forward to the next that we spend with you throughout the ages of the ages. So bless as we study your word together. Help us to grasp it with our mind, hide it in our heart, and apply it in our life that we might glorify you in all that we do. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. All right, now we're in chapter 11. We're going to start in the 4th verse. And what you see in prophecy, and I'll give you an example of that in a few minutes, what you see in prophecy many times is that the Lord will say, or God will say to one of his prophets, "Now, this is what I want you to do." And he will have his prophet more or less, if you will, go through a performance or a skit in portraying visually what he is prophesying. And so you'll see that by different prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, I'm going to go to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 4, before I read in Zechariah, I'm going to Ezekiel chapter 4 in the scriptures and show you what I'm talking about here. And if you go there to Ezekiel chapter 4, God is instructing the prophet Ezekiel in what he should do. And what he is going to do is going to portray the prophecy that God is going to bring about. And so God is telling Ezekiel what he needs to do this. And so he says, "Now, son of man, take a clay tablet, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it." A lot of times back then, they used what's called papyrus. They'd write on the bark come off a tree. Or they would use leather, and sometimes they would have a clay tablet that was dried and made into a tablet, and they could etch and they could mark and write on that. And so he's telling him to get a piece of clay and put it in front of you. Draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Just sketch a city of Jerusalem. Then he said, "Lay siege to the city, lay siege to it, erect siege works against it, build a ramp up to it, set up camps against it and put battering rams around it, then take an iron pan and place it as an iron wall between you and the city and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. So he's telling them that they are going to come under siege, and he's using Ezekiel the prophet to prophesy this by the act, if you will, that he is carrying out. And so he's saying to him, and then he will tell him to do the same thing but turn around and lay on his other side. So what is he picturing here? He is picturing the destruction and the siege that is being prophesied by Ezekiel that is going to come to the northern kingdom. And then what did he tell him? If you read on down, he tells him, now turn around now and turn your back to the other side. And because he's going to the northern part of Israel and the southern part of Israel, Israel and Judah. They were separated into two separate parts. He's going to lay siege to both of them. He's going to lay siege to both of them. Now, the iron that we'd say an iron skillet that he put between him and the city of Jerusalem or Israel is God is turning his back on them. In other words, the iron separated the prophet who represented God from what was going to happen. And God was going to allow it to happen. So the iron skillet, we would call it, between the two symbolized that God is going to take his face away from the Judah, away from Jerusalem. And this is something that he's going to allow to happen. And this goes along with the prophecy that we're about to read over here in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 4. Now remember, chapter 11 is all about the first coming of Christ, born by a Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the first time Christ comes down from heaven, became flesh and dwelt among us. This is about that. The true shepherd and Israel's rejection of the true shepherd. Remember, 40 years, it was about 30 A.D. when Christ was crucified. 40 years later, what is prophesied here is going to happen as a judgment on Israel for rejecting the one true shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Okay? That's the picture that you have when you looked at Ezekiel there and then you look at Zechariah here. This is a picture that we see. So in 70 AD, Rome sent troops and invaded Israel and destroyed Israel and Jerusalem. Remember when we started the 11th chapter, we went through all the different kinds of trees which represented the different areas that were going to be destroyed. And so Israel will be literally, Israel will be wiped off the face of the earth in 70 AD. And this is that prophecy, and so was it in Ezekiel, and here we see it in Zechariah, the prophecy concerning what would happen to them 40 years after they rejected the true Messiah and he was crucified. And that's what this is. This is what the Lord, verse 4 of the 11th chapter of Zechariah, this is what the Lord my God says, pasture the flock marked for slaughter. Now this word here, pasture, it doesn't sound right in our translation. it actually means feed the flock. It actually means feed the flock. So what happened when Jesus came to earth the first time? He tried to feed the flock. What did he do? He raised the dead, healed the sick, preached the word, fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, and all the miracles that he did and everything that he did. What did he do? He came to earth. He showed them who he was by what he did, and he shared with them the truth of the word by speaking to them as well. So he was trying to what? Feed the flock. So when it says he pastured the flock, that's what Jesus did when he came. Well, this was prophecy concerning what the shepherd would do when he came. That's what this is talking about here. And he says, go feed the flock. Now, what did the flock do, the majority of them? In fact, we'll look in the scriptures when we get down there. It says, mostly those that believed and received him were the poor, the oppressed. They call them the oppressed. They were under the oppression. Gladly received his word. But the others followed the leadership of the scribes and the elders and the Pharisees, rejected the Messiah and rejected his message. So they were what then? Marked for slaughter. That's what he's saying here. Marked for judgment. Marked for slaughter. That's what he's saying here. Okay. Their buyer slaughtered them and go unpunished. Okay. God allowed them to come in and absolutely slaughter. And those they didn't slaughter, what did they do? They sold them into slavery. They sold many of the Jews into slavery. The Romans did. Okay. And I'll give you a little heads up as to what you're going to find when we get on over here in chapter 11. What was the price of a slave at that time when they sold them? Huh? 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave at that time when they sold them. You see, you getting the picture? Mm-hmm. Okay. So he said, their buyers, right? They slaughtered them, and so their buyers slaughtered them and go unpunished. Well, why did they go unpunished at that time? Because God was using them as his instrument. Okay. Those who sell, see, those who sell them say, praise the Lord, I am rich. They sold slaves. They were getting money. For I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, declares the Lord. The Lord said, I don't have pity on them. I sent my own son, the true shepherd. He did miracles in their sight. He loved them. He gave them the word. They rejected him and they crucified. God said, no more. I have no pity. Okay, this is a message. Okay. For I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, declares the Lord. I will hand everyone over to his neighbor and his king. Uh-huh. I will hand everyone over to his neighbor. Who's that? Rome. I will hand everyone over to his neighbor. Now notice what I said. And his king. Well, let me ask you something. Who was king of Israel at that time? They didn't have one. Now then, I'm going to give you a little more information that's going to make perfect sense to you. I will hand them over to your neighbor Rome and the neighbor's king. Who was the neighbor's king at that time? When Pilate brought Jesus out before the Jews, he said to them, here is your king. And what did they say? What did they say? I'm not talking about give us Barabbas. This goes right along with that. What did they say when he said, here is your king? Huh? We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. Here he is. Caesar. Their king. King of Rome. When they rejected Christ as king, now God says, I'm handing you over. I'm going to give you all the Caesar you can stand. I'm handing you over to Rome and its king. That's what he said right here when you look at the scriptures. I will hand everyone over to his neighbor and his king. They will oppress the land, and I will not rescue them from their hands. And I will not rescue them from their hands. So I pastured the flock marked for slaughter. That's what Jesus did. Particularly the oppressed. What did I just tell you? They're the ones that received the message. Those that were oppressed. They received the message, Scripture says, gladly. Not the hierarchy, not the wealthy, not the average Jew. Only those that were oppressed. Okay? German Jews had German names. Uh-huh. You're saying that could go back to the result of these being sold out. Yeah. 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 Well, this isn't talking about that time. This is talking about 70 A.D. and the Romans. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Then I took two staves and called one favor and the other union. Okay, now, where else do you see two staves? 23rd Psalm. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay. So the shepherd had two. He had a rod to beat off the enemies of the sheep. Okay. And he had a staff that had a crook in it. And he used the staff with a crook in it to pull the sheep out of trouble. To pull them up off a cliff or to pull them out of the rocks. Or stuck in the mud or whatever. So he had one that he used to beat off the enemies, and he had others to rescue. He had two staffs. So God says, this is, he's talking about then this here. Then I took two staffs and called one favor and the other union. So one is called, he's calling one of his rods that he has, his staff, that he has. He's calling one of them graciousness or favor. Okay. Because this is what he's shown Israel up to now. Okay. He's shown them graciousness. He's shown them favor. The other one he calls unity, because Israel has the northern and the southern kingdom united. So he calls them union or unity. Okay, so he has two staffs, two rods that he's talking about here. Or you can call them sticks, you can call them whatever you want to, but this is what it represents. Okay, one is favor, the other is unity. He says, favor and the other union, and I pastured the flock. Okay, that's what Jesus did. In 1 month, I got rid of three shepherds. Okay, now he's saying, I detested, that's what that means. He says it down here, the flock detested me, but up here it says, in 1 month, I got rid of three shepherds. He's talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders, because all of them hated him. The Pharisees, the scribes, and the elders, the leadership of Israel, they're the ones that crucified him. So he says, in 1 month, I got rid of three shepherds. That's what that represents, the Pharisees, scribes, and the elders, okay? In 1 month, I got rid of the three shepherds. The flock detested me, and I grew weary of them and said, I will not be your shepherd. Okay, he says he came to his own, but his own received him not. He said they detested me, and I ran out of patience with them. I ran out of patience with them. I grew weary, so I said, I will not be your shepherd. I will not be your shepherd. God says, you don't want him, you ain't got him. I will not be your shepherd. Now look at that. Let the dying die and the perishing perish, and let those who are left eat one another's flesh. The siege in Israel and around Jerusalem by the Romans was so effective and so intense that people started eating their own children. That's how bad it was. And that's what he's prophesying here. They will eat their own flesh. Parents started eating their own children, because there was no food. When they sieged the city, they cut everything off. There's nothing to eat. There's no water. There's no food. They just cut everything off. I mean, this is a horrific judgment that God brings upon these people. And it's all because they rejected the shepherd. Let me tell you something. We can carry this over to today. When people reject the shepherd, Jesus Christ, they have no idea the awful, terrible punishment they're going to go through. They're going to endure forever. They haven't got a clue. All these people, all these liberals that have a health and wealth theology, that all they know is God is going to bless and God is going to take care of you and God is going to, oh, you're never going to be in want and all this. This message that they throw biblical truth out the window. They do not understand at all the wrath of God. They have no conception of the wrath of God. And God said, that's it. No more. I'm weary of this. My patience has run out. I'm going to lay siege on you. And it's going to be so horrific, you'll eat your own children. And that's exactly what happened. And those that didn't die through the slaughter were either, they either left and run completely out of the country, or they were sold as slaves. And that's what happened in 70 A.D. with the Romans. And this is prophecy concerning that. Okay. And he says in verse 10, "Then I took my staff called favor or graciousness and broke it." He said, I broke it in half. "Revoking the covenant I had made with all the nations." Okay, now that you look at, read that and you say, well, what in the world is he talking about here? Covenant he made with all the nations. Well, you remember that rod? What was that rod for? To protect the sheep and beat off the enemies? The shepherd used it? God said, I broke that rod in half because I had kept Israel from being destroyed up until now. I had protected Israel with the might from their enemies. He broke the rod in half and he said, no more. They can have it. And so he broke that rod in half. Okay? Now does he say, so the covenant I made with nations, that was that he said that Israel could not completely be destroyed because he would protect them. Well, now he says, no more. I break that rod in half. It was revoked on that day, and so the afflicted of the flock who were watching me knew it was the word of the Lord. I told them, if you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it. So they gave me 30 pieces of silver. Prophesying that 30 pieces of silver would be given to betray Christ, his son, that he'd be crucified. The price of a slave. You think that didn't bring a stench in the nostrils of God? They were saying, your son is only worth the price of a slave. That's what he said. And now look at this. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they priced me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Okay, now then. Let's see, I've got it here somewhere. I haven't been following my notes, I've just been going by. Gotta find it. Okay, chapter 27 in Matthew. Chapter 27 in Matthew. This is the prophecy fulfilled that I just read in Zechariah. Matthew 27. I'm going to begin in verse 5. Matthew 27, verse 5. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. And the chief priest picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. And that is what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. That spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field. That's exactly what was prophesied in Zechariah before Christ was ever born, ever came into the world through the Virgin Mary. Isn't that amazing how accurate, detailed the prophecy was in Zechariah concerning every single thing that happened? I'm going back to Zechariah now. Okay, verse 14. Then I broke my second staff called Union, breaking the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Okay, so now what is he doing? Rome is wiping Israel off the face of the earth. That's what's happening. Verse 15, then the Lord said to me, take again the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for I am going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy, but will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm be completely withered, his right eye totally blinded. This is about two things. First of all, the priests that were supposed to be caring for and giving the people the word from God back in the day of Zechariah were not. They could care less about the people. The only thing they cared about, they'd say it, but it's kind of like politicians today, many of them. It's all about themselves. And that's the way it was with them in that day. And then this other prophecy is concerning the Antichrist. They rejected the true shepherd, but they would accept and make a treaty with the Antichrist, who is a worthless shepherd. And tonight we start chapter 12. Anybody got a question? It's amazing to me, the more I study and go through this has been one of the best books I've ever taught through. Because of all the detail, absolute detail that it brings out that will be fulfilled, that was prophesied hundreds of years before it would ever happen. It just shows the inerrancy of Scripture, and that Scripture is inspired of God. And although men wrote it, they wrote what the Holy Spirit led them to write. I don't know how anybody can know this and not accept the gospel. I don't know how anybody can study this and know this and not realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Except the God of this world has blinded them. And God is slowly, I'm telling you what's happening right now. The United States of America and this world is already under judgment. God is pulling back. God is pulling back his hand of blessing and protection. And it's not going to get any better. And we'll start chapter 12 tonight. Okay? All right. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word together. We thank you for the realization that we do serve a risen Savior. that He is the true Messiah, that His name is Jesus Christ, and Christ is Lord of all. And we thank You for bringing us and calling us out of darkness into light, that we might understand this true gospel that is a mystery to so many people, that they cannot grasp or understand. Lord, we have people in our own families that we pray that You would pull the scales from their eyes, that they might see Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and place their faith in Him and repent of their sins, that they might become a child of God. We pray if there's anyone lost in this next service to follow, that the Holy Spirit of God might convict them, speak the truth to them, and draw them to Christ as their only hope. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through His shed blood we pray. Amen.